Friends, Romans, countrymen, I'm glad you're with me here at the end of all things. That's right, it is the end of Esposito Season 2, Strange New Worlds. I'm pretty sure Star Trek stole that name from us. They also stole Anson Mann. He was scheduled in for Season 2, but obviously he got booked up. There's always Season 3, though. He's a firm probably for that. Unlike Jason Momoa, who is a hard no. I haven't heard back from The Rock yet. So yeah, this is the season finale. I hope you enjoy it. It's been a real blast playing. If you are interested in playing Espogenesis yourself, the Master Technician's Guide is now up, so that's all three core books. You can get the PDFs from DriveThruRPG. There's some free one-shots as well that all kind of connect up to make a story, so you don't even need to make up your own mess of a narrative like I've been doing. So yeah. But thanks very much for listening to all of Season 2. You are real heroes for getting through our drunk ramblings. Speaking of which, we got pretty wrecked recording this last one, so apologies for that. But you know the deal. You've been listening for a whole season. At least, maybe two. Anywho, I'll leave you with it. So once again, thank you very much for listening, and we hope to see you at the start of Season 3, which will be run by Aaron. He's got some pretty wacky ideas, so it's gonna be a fun one. Peace.
You just ram your microcannon up into the underside of this creature, and as you do so, it leans forward, and you fire once, one of its tentacles wraps around the back of your head, and it leans in, and you fire again. You just hear this voice in your head that just says, "This fate will befall the universe. This victory is impermanent." And then the tentacle flops away from the back of your head, and the creature falls back, and as it collapses, its body starts folding in on itself, crumpling and crackling, and you see these streaks of darkness that appear, that shine out darkness, and then finally it collapses into a singularity and vanishes. And you're all stood in this room, the Eldore, the Dendu, the Kesh, all just collapse, lifeless. The machines power down, and the crucible core is entirely still and silent.
Who's looking rough right now?
Dumas is looking quite rough.
I'm on 34.
I run over to Dumas, and I touch him, and I say, "Melon."
Ooh.
My favourite fruit.
A fruit of friendship.
I say no. That's the Eldori word for mend. And you get...
Jesus.
You get healed 1d8. Sorry, I'll do it at rank 2 for you.
Oh.
So you get 2d8 plus my wisdom modifier. You get healed for 11.
I'll definitely take 11 off you.
Melon.
Ta. That's the dwarvish word for thanks.
Excellent.
Right, is that it then? Have we done it?
I mean, perhaps we should get on the phone to Perks.
Do you think we should still blow the core?
Well, the question is, do we want to blow it and take out the fleet, or do we want to let someone like Pax take control of it?
Maybe check with Pax what the situation is with the fleet. If they've lost what they're fighting for, maybe they will surrender.
The way I see it from my point of view, demolitions-wise, is we can still use what we've got to blow the core, or if things look like they're on the up and up, I can dismantle the demolitions on the core and slap them on these weird machines that the thing was doing, and that way we get rid of any temptation to, or any link that the Xenoterium has to this station.
Can Can I try and get on the comms to my dad? Dumas Mehdi, can you try and patch through a line?
Ah, yeah, I can probably get you a line through, I reckon.
You can do that pretty easily. Despite your exhaustion and bruising, you manage to patch Dora through to what you think is the capital ship of the Eldoro fleet.
Okay, I've patched you through to what I think is the capital ship. However, I take no responsibility, but this is what I think is the capital ship.
All right, well, let's not be shitty.
All right. No, I'm not being shitty, I'm just putting insurance.
You are being shitty.
I can just see this going wrong, and I want to imply that it's not my fault.
Dora grabs the rum out of her pocket, has a little. She opens the stopper, has a little drink. Am I speaking to Felipe?
No, this is Pax. I thought you said that we blow up.
Have you killed me dad then, or?
Oh, no, he's not dead. He's just handcuffed and on his knees.
All right.
I was just going to say very badly burned.
Well, that's good. We've won the war outside, right?
As far as I can tell, yeah. Have you won the war inside?
We assume we have. There could be some other thing going on, but I think we're okay. I don't think we're going to blow it up if you're all good outside. I would ask one favor, though, for me. I know it might be difficult for you, Pax. Can you leave him?
He's under arrest at the minute. We've not reported it in. If you want him to yourself, that's fine. Otherwise, he's going to the conclave.
I wouldn't mind speaking to him before his trial.
I'm sure that can be arranged.
Well, I think we're all good here. We don't have to blow this up. But if we do, just... You've won the war out there. Take everyone back. Maybe send in a couple of fighters to escort us out.
Fine. Yeah, sure.
But I think we're all good. Right, guys?
I'm going to kind of like patch my communicator into the thing and say, yeah, Pax, we've got some weird machinery that I think the Xenoterium was using to come through. We're going to blow that instead. You might want to send some people in for a sweep of anything similar. We'll take some records of it, send it to 3-tier, but obviously you might want to classify it.
Fine. Okay. Sure.
Did you get your revenge, mate?
Enough. He had a first officer. I kicked your father's first officer's head at him. It felt good.
I think, mate, that's who you are. Never forget it.
Unfortunately, we have lost the following exchange where Pax laments the fact his life has peaked and has no further meaning, whilst Dora encourages him to end it all. We return as Hood and Rebook interrupt Dora to end the conversation, which was equal parts weird, tasteless, and somewhat meta.
No.
I'm sorry, usually I would... Korjev would guide me through this sort of conversation.
Pax, you've been speaking to Dora for a few minutes, so I can understand the need to kill yourself.
resist the urge, fight the urge. We're going to go, we're going to sort out what we've got to sort out here. Can you scramble those fighters? God, this has been a weird fucking day.
Please make sure you reach out.
Hey, Pax, though, look, if you're looking for a friend, you've got one right here with all us. If you want to join the crew, you join the crew. But just so you know, you're going to have to fight Hood to pilot the ship.
Hey, Dora. When I said you were right for a pirate, it was relative.
Yeah, but...
Fuck off.
Now, this is the kind of space I'm comfortable in. Fuck you too, Pax. You're a cunt.
But also I...
Yes.
I don't like you. So, you know, things are confusing for me right now. Let's talk later in like 100 years or so.
Yeah, of course. What, like in 100 years, I'll probably be, stealing off your people, so.
Well, I'll be dead, so it's fine.
How has banishing an extra dimensional terror been the second weirdest thing that's happened to me today? And I just really resignedly light a cigarette and just grumbles to himself and like, He takes one drag and then realizes he's got to dismantle a bunch of high explosives. I'm really, really annoyed at this point. Flicks it away and then goes over to the demolitions pile.
All right.
Flicking cigarettes around high explosives, though.
I'm not near the explosives at the moment. That's why I'm flicking it away.
Oh, you're getting rid of it here. Right. Okay.
Smart.
Based on what you've said, you fairly easily dismantle the explosives you had set around the core and manage to blow up the machines that are drawing energy from it. It's not a difficult task, given that no one's really interfering because everyone else aboard the station seems to be dead. You, kind of exhausted, make your way back to the surface of the Crucible. You board the Golden Rose and check the scanners to see what's happened. And it looks like the fight is all done. There's a few Eldorai 7th Fleet ships that are surrounded by a combination of Infinity Corps and Promethean ships. You do learn later that despite the plans to withdraw from the fight once you had infiltrated the Crucible, the Prometheans stuck around, led by Pax, and not wanting to leave their allies high and dry, the Infinity Corps followed in. So Pax boarded the Eldorai flagship, decapitated the first officer, kicked his head at General Philippe Altari, and shortly after arrested him for the Conclave or the Eldorai or whoever wants him more. The fighters that the Prometheans sent out find a dish on the far side of the Crucible that seems to have been drawing its power from these machines that was directing it towards this rift that was opening up. However, having killed the Xenoterium and shut down the machines, it lost its power and the rift healed itself over again. So with all of this concluded, you have some time to rest and recuperate, and then you are summoned before a council of representatives from the Infinity Corps, the Prometheans, the Conclave, and the Eldorai. You're brought aboard the Bastion, which is this floating city that orbits Teressa Prime. You're taken into this large room and sat down at one end of a long table opposite a council of four representatives. Admiral Stover Stelkron, who you've spoken to briefly before, introduces the four. He says, "Hello. To my left, I have Admiral Imran Rashid of the Infinity Corps. I have Admiral Pax Andromeda of the Prometheans, and to my right I have Navira Danleth of the Eldorai. Your actions over the last several months have averted two galactic cataclysms. I do not believe it is hyperbole to say that everyone in the Ark owes you a great debt. On behalf of the Conclave and all members of the Ark, I would like to extend to you our heartfelt gratitude. The Zamoran invasion left us all on edge, with our guard raised against the wrong enemy. Our governments and military were compromised by an insidious threat. Were it not for you, the Zamoran would have continued to ravage our homeworlds whilst the Xenoterium plunged the galactic core into whatever subdimension it came from. The political fallout of the battle you were partly responsible for would be hard to recover from, were it not for the fact that the media had no idea where to put their cameras. And even if they had, everyone was too focused on recovery from the Zamoran to have noticed. There are not many who would understand just how close we all came to destruction here, and, well, we would like it to remain that way. We cannot celebrate you beyond your ending of the Zamoran threat. You will all be honored as heroes of the Ark. We will aid you in whatever way you need. However, this Xenoterium assault must remain hidden. Is this acceptable?"
"Can you explain to me again why it needs to be remain hidden?"
"Because in the state the Ark is currently left in, with every government on guard, with every military at the ready, the knowledge that a creature that could pollute the minds of anyone could result in galactic war that would end any form of civilization we currently hold dear."
I'm going to have to stop you there. "And that's because I'm a pirate. And you're an idiot. To completely blind every single race in this galaxy that you know about a threat that has just occurred and could occur again is ridiculous. Why did you not fight together? Why did it come down to four ridiculous individuals that were only together because of crazy happenstance? Did this universe survive?
This is precisely...
You know, I think you're done speaking and you're an idiot. And when I walk out of here, I promise I will always fight for the rights of everybody in this universe and to preserve life. But you clearly are a fool. You need to band together and make people aware of these things rather than shrouding things in some kind of...
Those who need to be made aware are aware.
Clearly not. This is why I will always be on the fringes and fighting on the outskirts of the universe, because you don't know what you're talking about half the time. You're in for your own good.
I'm afraid you do not quite understand the situation you are in. This is an agreement between all governments within the Ark. You are not allowed to leave this place unless you agree to our terms.
Oh, well, I suppose. You might have to hang me.
Hud chuckles at this. As Dora says that, he puts a hand out onto Dora's shoulder and he says, No, don't worry about it, Dora. This is the game that they play. You wouldn't get anything close to the recognition of a hanging. You will just be disappeared. Maybe there'll be a little news article. They'll find you with your 36 shots in your back and they'll rule it as a suicide. But let's talk about this. Let's say we do keep our silence. What's it worth? Because you've got to remember is that we're not just staying silent about the Xenotyrium. We're staying silent about a catalogue of failures, militarily, diplomatically, just strategically, and levels of incompetence. I make sure I get each of these representatives, I look each of them in the eye in turn, just a catalogue of incompetence and failure from level to level. The fact that we've had to save the universe, not once, but twice in the space of... And then I turn to the rest of the guys. What was it? Maybe a month, a fortnight? What is it?
Not even that, mate. I think like 2 weeks.
About that. Not been long.
A season.
So not only do I think our silence is necessary, I think it's practically essential. And I do think you're missing on one tiny, tiny detail when you say something like, we need your permission to leave. We've fought our way through unknowable alien technology, spaces between dimensions, to raid capital planets of hive-minded aliens that have brought all of galactic civilization to the brink of destruction, not once but twice. We killed those, and then we also wiped out a transdimensional horror that wanted to basically steal a sun. So I would think really, really carefully about how and who you threaten right now. But we're willing to play ball. But it's going to cost you.
And also, people have heard my voice. If I don't leave this ship, people are going to take fucking note.
At this point, you see Admiral Imran Rashid shuffles a little bit, and you see a broad grin spread across Pax's face as he raises an eyebrow and looks up to Admiral Storva Stolkron, who takes a deep breath and says, "You raise some good points. Our interest is ensuring panic does not spread across the Ark. What can we do to ensure your compliance?"
I mean, I've got a couple of terms, but I'll let you guys go first.
Well, I won't deny my reasoning for being here. I think you can probably guess what's going to get you on board over on this side, in that I want the full capabilities of your humanitarian fleet to help rebuild my homeworld, which, let's be fair, took the absolute brunt of the initial assault.
Done.
Absolutely no race took more of a pagger in than we did. If you can commit to a full humanitarian rebuild, as well as gradual representation within your dealings, I feel like we've been in the shadows too long and we should have a say in galactic affairs, and I feel like we should start stepping up and being a player. I think we've earned that at least.
That is acceptable, provided for at least the first decade or so you serve as some sort of interim.
What do you mean by interim?
Diplomat.
Hmm.
Representative.
I'd like to step in here. I've been...
No. You wait.
No.
To be honest, I'm the only person here with any political clout.
This is relevant to this. I have a recording from the Dendu ambassador. She wants to create a particular diplomacy between the Dendu and the Dwarves. This recording right now is a testament to the start of this and to create some kind of trade and diplomacy going forward. I have a recording of this, and she said to me that I could play it to the authorities.
Very well. And Stover looks at Dumas. If this is your wish...
Dumas sort of shrugs.
Then dwarven relations with the Sylvain Arc can be managed through a relationship with the Dendu people.
That's above my clout. I feel like we need to turn over a new leaf with the dwarven people. And we are a removed bunch. We're not quite into getting fully involved off the bat straight away, which is why I said a gradual inclusion into the proceedings. I would say that it's absolutely acceptable to start off with this as the arrangement, with the agreement that it gets reviewed until my people have full involvement in the proceedings.
That is what she said. And that was not a euphemism. That is literally what she said.
Very well. This will be a matter that is taken to the Conclave Council. But I can say, for my part, we will hold up our end.
I'll beep him over the recording that I took when we were on Dendu.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, my people, the people of Ananda, will honour their side of the bargain and not divulge any classified military secrets. In honour of our new friendship.
Very well. Anyone else have anything to ask particular?
Rebook, what do you want?
Rebook smiles, and I've never really wanted for anything, but the idea of Unenda being repaired is good. I feel Dumas has made the right choice with his requests here, and these are not unreasonable. The planet needs to heal. The relationship between our peoples needs to heal.
Oh, I'll see to it you're welcome there, Reboot, too.
And if we can find out what caused this rift in the first place as well, I would like to be involved in an investigation.
The Eldori that's there stands up and says, "We will invite the Dendu and the Ashen Forge to support you in this."
Very good.
Can I ask a favour?
Four of them turn to look at you.
Would it be possible to take my father home to die after his trial, which is obviously not going to go in his favour?
The Admiral says, "Do you mean you wish to take your father back to the Eldori homeworld to face trial?"
"No, he can face trial here. If it's for death, I feel as though he should be with family."
"So if he is sentenced to death, you wish to transport him home for his death?"
"Yes."
There's a moment of hesitation, and he looks to Pax and he looks to the other two. And the only one that gives him any indication is Pax, who gives a slight nod. He says, "Very well, if that is your wish, And if that certifies your silence in this matter?
I don't understand the certify of the silence, but if you want me to sign something, I'm a pirate. Doesn't mean fucking anything.
For us it does. You may transport your father home for his penalty. In exchange, we will ask you to sign a contract that certifies that you deny a Zenithium attack.
Okay.
Can I just jump in here with a little bit of lawyer speak there? And I think there's a bit of a difference between denying and denying knowledge of.
What is your point?
Ignore me.
If anyone wants to come along and ask me about it, then that's fine. But I can't.
If anyone asks you about it, your response should be you are not aware of any such attack.
No, of course.
If you were to go to anyone and say you are aware of any attack, you would be in breach.
Terrible breach. I've never been in breach before either. I always abide by the law.
If you were to breach this contract, whilst any boon granted by it would not be applicable, your life would also be forfeit.
Ah, God, that sounds terrible. I would never, ever.
Yes, ever I am a pirate. It is piratical of you to be sarcastic in such matters. However, you would be pursued.
No, honestly, I would never. If I've signed something, I swear to God, I will see it out. Even if it's against my good nature, I will see it out. I wink at Reboot.
Hadnarajan, do you have anything you request of us?
I've got a few things. First, with regards to the Dwarven situation, I want your commitment in writing, both as a unified alliance to your commitments to the Dwarven people, and also I want it written in from each individual representative. So I want written confirmation from the Matakai, from the Valna, from the Dendu, from humans, Prometheans, everyone in the Ark, that they are going to make an individual commitment and a unified commitment to rebuilding and resettling the Dwarves. And part of that provision means having an embassy on the homeworlds. A Dwarven embassy. That will help them blend in and join with the rest of the Ark. That's my first condition. Second condition is you provide Dora with a small flotilla. I'm talking 2-3 ships to accompany the Golden Rose. Top of the line, top of the range. As for Rebook, I want him to get an all-expenses paid trip to the Dendu homeworld, as well as a stipend for the pain and suffering that he's been forced to go through as a result of the Dendu abandoning him on the Dwarven homeworld to suffer a genocide, basically. And that stipend will come from the Dendu government. And as for me, I want a fat check. Zeros to be discussed at a later date. And I want to be set up on a nice, real picturesque beach world somewhere where I never have to think the word gun again and where they do really big cigars. And lastly, I want Doc over here, and I point at Imran and I say, I want him bumped down so fast to private, and I want a black mark against his name so that he never, ever reaches high command in any military outfit ever again. I think that's reasonable.
Shit. They were some fucking demands. Regarding the Dwarves, done. Easy enough. Regarding Rebook, fair enough. All doable. Regarding Dora, describe the nature of these ships in escort. Are they permanent? Are they under her command?
Permanent and under her command, yes. Don't worry, you can write it off as you can write it off as military waste, it'll be fine. The books will never show it.
We can, however, we cannot fund privateers.
Oh, you wouldn't be funding privateers. This would be, what's the way to put it? budgetary overspill. You know, I've been in the military for a long time. Things go missing. Things go walkabout. The budgets, they're bloated. They're overinflated. Prototypes just get mothballed and no one ever talks to them about them again.
This is a high-profile target being transferred back to their home planet for trial.
And regarding Doc, this is something that can be discussed, at which point Doc stands up and says, "Now, hang on a fucking second! You sit down, sir." Doc is acceptable. He has allowed his commanding officer to be compromised, and the entire Infinity Corps fleet. This is acceptable upon command of the Conclave. Obviously, the Earth government would need to accept, but given their precarious state, acceptable. I believe the only sticking point is here with providing Conclave military assets towards a pirate.
Two ships. Not necessarily top of the line. Things you were going to junk anyway.
The problem is not the asset so much as the crew. We can provide a singular ship. We can select out a crew that we have no faith in and provide them.
Fair enough.
This, in a sense, does both of us a favour. We lose our least distinguished crew members. You gain a ship.
Sounds good. Dory, you'll be able to have a word with them, won't you?
Anyone on my ship, they either betray me or they don't stay too long or they stay forever. So, whatever.
Those are a lot of variables.
Those are literally all the options, Dora, but yeah, never mind.
They can do absolutely anything.
At least we know where we are.
Do you?
So, about my beach planet.
That is fine. You can fuck off as far away as you like.
Just one addendum to this. I'm going to be keeping tabs on these guys because even with Dora, I've come to like these guys and I get attached. It's a weakness. But if I find out from the golden shores of my beach planet that some horrible, mean-spirited political stuff has gone on and something's happened to my friends, I will find you. And I will tear it all down, brick by brick.
In response, if any of you breach any of these agreements, you will be torn apart. There's no wild or madcap or fun. You will not have a chance to consider the actions that you are taking. You will be destroyed.
You do these kind of like weird flex and stuff. I'm sorry. I need to jump in here because I'm the most pissed I've been since about, I don't know.
A month ago? Weeks,
a month, I think a month ago.
9 hours?
9 hours or something. I don't know. I have a contact in the black market and everything's been recorded and he could just put it out into the...
Dora, shut up!
You refer to Shinedop, who is as connected in with us as he is with you. This is not...
It's been
nothing.
Look to your
nothing
right.
Happens.
Look to your right. Look to your left. Look to Pax right now. Pax, baby. Look at him.
Shinedop will support you in as much as he is supported by you. In the same way that he will support us in as much as we are supported by him. So, if one of us crosses him, who do you think we'll side with? The Galactic Power or the Pirate Captain? The fucking Galactic Power, because the Pirate Captain can do nothing to him. Dora.
He will side with the one that makes him the most money. And I will tell you what, man. If there was ever a time to make money in this universe, it's fucking now. And that shines up. He will make money. So he will side with the pirate of the fucking twats that you're... Pax, come on, mate. Look at me.
At this point, like, Hud's gonna just take Dora to one side for a second. Just Dora.
No! And I, like, slap him a little bit. No! What are you doing?
Then I grab Dora by the scruff of the neck and I say, Dora, who do you think pays Shinedop for all the political information? I just sort of jerk my head over at the panel.
I care not.
Hang on. How are you going to make any money when you can't sell the stuff that you're trying to sell? Because you pissed off the people who would buy it.
We'll always pick some shit up. It's fine. We'll always fucking pick it up. I'm going to go on my ship.
Hud looks exhaustedly at the panel and just mouths the words, "I'm sorry."
You are a bunch of twats. All of you.
So
I can take you down in the end. I will do so. Mark my fucking words. I want my father and I'm going.
At that, we're going to end season two and just go to what happens next. So I guess we'll start with Dora.
Dora gets black bagged as she walks out the room and is never seen again.
Oh, this is going to be a really dark ending, isn't it? I do like the last words that I'd got to say were mouthing, "I'm sorry about Dora."
I'm so excited to play a not a twat in the next season.
All right. I just need to ask you each, what happens next? So who wants to go first?
I'll go. What happens to Hardy is kind of subject to what happens to the others, but if he's allowed to kind of leave the meeting and things get guaranteed and things are on the up and up, he'll go to his beach planet. He'll probably make a little detour to see the other Dumas, you know, the dwarf military captain.
Dumas Feltram.
Yeah, who he made friends with, and check in on him and tell him the good news that things are going well and that, you know, they probably won't be hearing from Dumas straight away, but things are moving and it's good. We've avenged them. We're working to get things sorted out. And then he'll probably head off to his beach planet and finally experiencing a life of peace. And he won't get rid of all of his weapons and his armor, but he'll put them in a big, strong box and bury them under the floorboards, hoping that he'll never need them again, but ready if it comes to it. And then he'll just sit in the sun on his beach planet, wearing a pair of very garish shorts and a Hawaiian shirt, and sat in a hammock, just smoking a huge cigar. And as he takes a drag, he'll just look up at the blue, blue sky and just go, "Eh, what's up, Doc?"
Love it. And Duo actually kind of follows you.
Hey!
Managed to escape the grips of the Infinity Corps, manages to follow you, and he opens a bar just down the road on the beach. About a 50-meter walk. Like, it is spitting distance. He opens this bar and you become a regular, and you and Duo finally manage to hang out together.
Yeah. Hud never buys a drink. He never drinks, but he just sits there and just talks about the old times. Hud
never has to pay for a drink in this bar. He just hangs out with his mate and they smoke cigars, and whenever Duo wants another drink, he'll wave over. And he'll have a drink, and he'll offer Hud one, and Hud is allowed a free drink, and it's they have a wonderful time.
That's nice. But let's see how these guys fuck it up.
Yeah, let's see how these guys fuck up their stories. I feel like Hud had the hardest story to begin with, so yeah. Who's next?
Dumas, you know, he was never really one for glory nor any form of particular adventure beyond what he got into, really. I think he would go back to Anenda. He would help work on the disaster relief effort. I think knowing him, he would inadvertently and semi-reluctantly get drawn into some quite high-ranking role, even though he didn't particularly push for it. But, you know, once he's in it, he's fine. Whatever gave him the easy life. I think he would spend the future just coordinating the relief effort, helping out. And I think he would reluctantly act as a, not reluctantly, but passively act as a diplomat for an ender going off-world every now and then, knowing that he was probably one of the best people for it, given that no one else on the planet really has any experience in this sort of field. He thinks he would broker a peace as best as he could with the Dendu. And I think he would probably keep in touch with Hud digitally, sending the occasional message, ask how he's doing, just check in on him, see how the beach planet is going. I think he would probably never speak to Dora again, not through any particular malice or dislike, but I don't think their lifestyles would cross over in any particular way. I think Dora would bring a level of aggravation to Dumas's semi-retirement that is beyond anything he would proactively seek out unless it's sought him out first. But I think he would keep quite close in touch with Reebok just because of the history of their people together. He would probably try and make himself and Reebok the ambassadors to try and promote these mutual relations across Unenda and trying to put the past behind them, trying to make sure that Unenda had a unified future forward, putting the tumultuous history behind them. Now he knows that Reebok is ultimately a good person. I think that is what Dumas would do.
Unenda realises, after a fairly short amount of time, that there are maybe a couple of hundred Dendu that are still alive on the dark side. So the two of you end up becoming the unified voice of Unenda in the Silrain Arc. You both have positions within the Conclave, which, particularly for Reebok, is a bit of a shunt into the limelight. For Dumas as well, it's a bit of a shock to the system. You were promoted to Rear Admiral, but you didn't realise it would entail this. You are forced into a diplomatic position. But you are, and you cope with it fairly well, and you manage to keep in touch with whoever you want to keep in touch with. Unenda thrives in the new galactic setup. The reserves of Anamantine, they still exist. So the residents of Unenda still thrive, even more so than they had before. They are able to reignite the planet's cycle with the support of the other galactic races so that the dwarven planet no longer exists in a perpetual night and a perpetual day. They manage to restart that spin so that for once the dwarves are able to experience night and day, which is, for the people that you serve, remarkable. For you guys, it's impressive, but you know, you've fought intergalactic beings and traveled through rifts to fight insect creatures from a different dimension. For you guys, it's bread and butter, but for the people that you exist to protect, it's quite impressive.
I think that makes sense for Reebok. That would be his idea of trying to broker some sort of relationship between the Dwarven and the Dendu people of Unenda. And like you said, act as an ambassador for that. And also like look into the history and what happened to cause that conflict in the first place. I don't know if he ever manages to discover that.
Yeah, I will let you investigate that easily enough.
Dumas wouldn't want to know what caused it all, I think. Dumas would just be like, it's only going to bring up more stress.
Yeah, I think that's it. Reebok wants to know for himself, but if it's something that's going to cause more stress between the people in the future, would keep it to himself.
So Reebok investigates that himself and finds out that there was a point where the Dendu were assaulted by the Zamaron. Before anyone else was assaulted by the Zamaron, it was a singular event. There was a rift opened up near the Dendu homeworld, and this assault took place. And there were a couple of colony ships that managed to escape, and they arrived at the Dwarven homeworld, and they negotiated a peace, and they were given part of the planet to settle on. And it turned out that some of those were infected by a Zamaron thrall virus. And as the years passed, that virus spread and engulfed a lot of the population, and the Dendu that had settled on the homeworld of the dwarves initiated an assault, and the dwarves responded, and it was essentially a Cold War play out, except that one side definitely won. The Dendu were wiped out and the dwarves won, but the sacrifice to their planet was severe and they had to adapt their lifestyle. So that's how that played out, and Reebok finds that out and learns that the Zamaron were responsible, but it wasn't anyone's fault in particular. The dwarves were not wrong in reacting. The Dendu had no way of not initiating. They were controlled in that way.
Just the wasps ruin everything.
The fucking wasps. They just spread mustard over everything. Just got sprayed on all of it.
Messy bastards. Yeah, I think Reboot like gets into that role, would share that information with Dumas, but be like, do with this what you will.
I think Dumas would be, he would sit quietly. He would sit quietly and listen. And then he'd probably pour himself a drink, light a cigar, never speak of it again.
Yeah, the way things worked out, the Dendu accepted the dwarves, the dwarves accepted the Dendu, the stirring up of what had happened wouldn't necessarily have benefited anyone. But both of you know the truth.
And Reboot would, I think, stay in touch with Hood again over the sim. Send a message every few days and enjoy the pictures he sends over to that beach world. Maybe he'll visit at some point.
I think after several years, I think Dumas and Reboot would become quite good friends.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'd definitely invite everyone to the beach planet at some point.
Beach party.
Even Dora.
Beach episode! Yeah, including Dora.
I think Reboot would also stay in touch with Dora and just make sure that the vents are being adequately maintained and that there's always a well-cleaned-out section above the XO's cabin, just in case Reboot ever needs a place to stay on a ship.
Dora, what's your jam? What do you do?
Dora takes on her father to take home to Eldor, and she chats to him halfway through the journey, and she's like, you know that this is your final journey. We're not going to get to Eldor. Right?
I'm aware.
How do you want to go?
How do you mean?
Well, you're dead already. I've been dead since I was born. Nobody ever liked me, and I've never made an impact on the world. How do you want to go? This is the wheel for you, Father.
Well, it spins whatever way it will.
Exactly.
If my time is to die, then I will die at the end of my journey.
Do you want it to be me that grants that for you? Or do you want it to be the authorities of Eldor?
Dora, you are a sentimental creature.
Don't be fucking stupid. Just for once in your life, for the love of God, look me in the eye. And don't be fucking stupid. Sentiment doesn't even come into it. Just look me right in the eye and tell me you don't care. For once.
If you wish to be the one that kills me, then kill me.
You're an idiot. You're such a logical person that has this wheel that restricts your worldly view, and you don't understand what's standing right in front of you, asking you for once just to be like, I love you. I will always love you. You're my father. I will space you, but I love you.
You're a disgusting creature. You are an abomination. You are the result of a mistake that I made many years ago. And nothing can take back that mistake. It is your fault that the universe must spin on in inequilibrium. You are my mistake. You will always be so.
I love you, Father. And I give him a kiss on the cheek. And I let him fly out into the space.
And you just watch him drift away. His eyes never really seem to leave yours, but they glaze over.
And I, bit by bit, over the years, I go to the beach planet. I go to an ender. I try and recruit The boys.
And I'm speaking for everyone here. I'm assuming that they all deny you.
I think Dumas would. As much as I'm all for that sequel, I think Dumas would pull a bit of a Murtar. He is.
Not too old for this shit.
He's definitely too old for this shit.
I think Hudd'd be something similar. Like, he spent his whole life fighting and wandering and trying to find somewhere where he's finally at peace and happy. And he's literally found paradise at this point. And it would take something really severe for him to change that. So he's not just going to go for a jolly.
I think Reboot would say that I have responsibilities now, a world I'm trying to rebuild. I'm sorry, Dora, but I can't. And then would shake your hand. And then as you leave, there's a note that you open up and it just says, "You son of a bitch, I'm in."
Which is useful because shortly afterwards, Eldora government come after you because you never delivered their package of this traitor.
Absolutely, I'm on the run forever.
All right, Dora pirates off and occasionally picks up Reboot for pirating business.
Fuck the Alderi cunt.
Dora thinks that Reboot has told him to fuck off and then one day walks back into her captain's cabin and Reboot has just sat cross-legged with a large glass of whiskey at her desk and says, "You son of a bitch, I'm in." And we fade out to some sort of rock and roll music. And it's exciting.
Fuck it. It go completely different direction. November Rain by Prince.
Summer
loving. The planet's a beach.